Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
We're now joined by Cowboys safety Xavier Woods. So good to have you with us.
Who should be playing in this Super Bowl.
Should be.
It should have happened.
I figured that would come up off the top. But first, welcome. Xavier, welcome. But you also from Louisiana. So curious, watching the game last night, what did you make of LSU?
That's big. That was big for the state of Louisiana. Mm. I mean, growing up, I wasn't an LSU fan, but now that's just big for Louisiana. Mm. I mean, we haven't won anything.
By the way, I have traveled enough to have gone through your hometown, which is more north central.
Yeah, north Louisiana.
Monroe, right? That's how you say it, Monroe. Because when I was there, I thought it was Monroe, but they say Monroe, Monroe. Right?
Monroe.
So when you were growing up, did you hate LSU or was there rivalry or what, how did you feel about it?
Growing up, I was a Georgia fan.
Okay.
Oh, the Bulldogs?
Bulldogs, man. I had the staff for AJ Green. Those were mine.
Okay.
Oh, I looked up to those guys. But yeah, definitely didn't like LSU. But growing up, me now, you just want to see the hometown win, the home state win.
Okay.
I mean, we've been let down a lot.
Okay, so I'm assuming LSU did not recruit you out of Monroe.
They did.
High school,
they did.
Right?
They
and
did.
You went to Louisiana Tech, which is just down the road in Ruston, right?
I mean, it opened up great opportunities for me, especially to get to the league, obviously. Yep. So I'm blessed to be able to go to Louisiana Tech and be an alumni.
So were you rooting last night for LSU?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay, yeah. I was on the bandwagon.
All right, so way to go. So before we look ahead with Mike McCarthy, let's look back to what I considered a highly disappointing 8-8 season. Just gut feeling, what was the biggest reason you finished 8-8?
Just going to put it together. We have the talent. We had the talent from the top to the bottom, from the coaches to the staff to the players. Just didn't put it together. We just couldn't win those close games. When we got down, we just couldn't come back. I believe that's what it was. It's not solely on one person. I mean, you got the scapegoat would be Jason Garrett, but it's on us. It's on the players.
I mean, I do agree with the premise of it was always something is missing, but the defense could not take the ball away at key moments. And I don't know how you teach that. I don't know how you coach it, but you were obviously playing safety part of it. Did it start to eat at you? We got to take the ball away, and we're not. So how do you say, let's go take the ball away today or tonight?
Well, there's pros and cons to that. Pros is you focus more on taking the balls away and trying to get it. Cons be you force. You know, when you force in football, you just do too much. And things happen, you start guessing and stuff like that. And that's what started to happen. We started to force too much. Me, personally, we started to force on the back end. But, I mean, we missed tackles. That Chicago game was terrible.
It's terrible.
And you can't blame that on the coach. We go out there and we miss all those tackles. We give up third and 15. That's not on the coach. That's on the players, you know?
You turned Mitchell Trubisky into Lamar Jackson.
Man, he looked great going against us tonight. But that's on the players. And all in all, we just couldn't put it together.
Jason Garrett was your coach. Obviously, he lost his job, and you mentioned the term scapegoat. Mm-hmm. And it seems like when things went well, he got no credit. When things went bad, he got all the blame. What do you think of Jason Garrett as a coach?
Well, that's a leader. That's a leader's job. When things go good, you don't get no credit. When things go bad, you get all the blame for it. I mean, that's just being a leader. But he's a player's coach. You wouldn't find a handful of guys in that locker room that doesn't like him. That doesn't like him as a person. I mean, I love him. I mean, he believed in me. I mean, he drafted me a couple rounds late. But he drafted me. So I would never go against a guy that, believed in me. And I'm loyal to that guy. But, I mean, this question's coming up, but sometimes you need new energy.
Right.
New energy in the building breeds something different. Do I believe he was a problem? No. Do I believe we just didn't put it together? Yes.
Do you believe you started to tune out his pregame messages, like you've heard them so many times, they start to go in one ear and out the other?
I believe you do that with any coach.
Yep.
I believe you do that with any coach, man. If you're not motivated internally, then something's wrong with you. So he's not the fiery guy.
Nope.
He's not going to be the guy that makes your heart pound before you got in the game. His speech is consistent. It's the same every week. So you know what you're going to get from him. I mean, he's not going to be the guy that's
motivator. My issue with Jason was, and he's the nicest guy in the world, but I don't believe anybody in your locker room feared him, feared his retribution if you missed all those tackles at Chicago, because he's not going to yell and scream after the game or on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday.
I mean, I would say no, that's not the reason. Because Chris Rashard with IDB Coastal. And he's that guy.
He would.
He's that guy that we fear that, not say fear, but he's that guy that will holler at us when we miss those tackles, when we make those mistakes. And, I mean, it's a place for both head coach. It's not that guy, but then you got the DC or the passing coordinator that is.
By the way, would you like to see Chris Rashard get a head coaching job?
Definitely. I definitely he's deserving of it.
But you know, let's be real. You know who the coach was. It's the guy that y'all hear all the time, Jerry. That's why y'all tuned out Jason Garrett. We couldn't tell you anything because who he gonna bench? Who he gonna cut?
I mean, he is the boss.
No, he's not. Jerry's the boss.
Well, that's Jerry what he's saying. He's saying Jerry's the boss.
Yeah.
So they go
fire Jerry? Jerry getting cut? Okay, my bad. I'm just making sure.
Come on now.
I'm just making sure.
All right, so you have a new leader. And we hope he's not the same as the old leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Mike McCarthy, I thought, was pretty impressive in the opening press conference. I don't know if you, did you attend or just watch?
I did.
You just watched, right? So early gut feeling on Mike McCarthy.
First, new energy. Like I said earlier, new energy. Mm-hmm. He's won before.
Is that cachet in the locker room when he walks in? He's got a ring now.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. That's how we treated Coach Rashard when he came in. Mm-hmm. He won, got a ring. He had one of the best defenses ever.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you treat winners. That's how you bring in a whole new staff. So you're definitely going to get new energy in the building, new staff. It's going to be, I don't know what defense is going to be yet. They haven't told us. I mean, I don't know, 3-4 or 4-3. We don't know. But the staff that he's assembled already, they have some stuff with them. Mm-hmm. They have some stuff with them.
Do you know much about Mike Nolan, your DC?
I don't. But I know that the Saints defense has been rocking and rolling for some time now.
I'm pretty sure you are going to switch your scheme to a 3-4 because that's all he's ever coached and teach. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that for a fact.
I definitely know that we won't be running that cover 3 that we've been running.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, those guys don't run that. They haven't ran that. So I'm excited to see what we'll be running.
Are you surprised? I mean, look, I get it. Chris Rashard came from Seattle, and they were a cover 1 lurk robber team. Mm-hmm. But that's not what you guys, I don't believe that's what you guys were good at.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what he coached.
Mm-hmm.
Are you surprised that you didn't switch it up more?
I don't think that's what we're not good at. I think we are a good cover one, cover 3 team. It's just sometimes the system needs an update. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the software needs an update. When you say, when you look at the Seahawks and the 49ers, mm-hmm. we run the same thing. Mm-hmm. They mix in a different cover. They mix in that cover 4 covers as well.
But them dogs that go get hunt.
Mm.
You got to have them dogs to go hunt.
We got dogs too.
DeMarcus Lawrence had a half a sack over the last 7 games.
Man, when you look at it, he get double teamed.
Well, somebody else got to get home.
Robert Quinn did get home.
Look here. Mm-hmm. I don't hear nobody double
teamed. We got some dogs now.
Guess what? He had 2 agents, and they got him $100 million. I need to skip. I need production. I don't hear nobody double team. I need production.
Sacks went down. Tiger for losses, his stats might have went down.
Yeah.
But that production.
And the defense went down.
And offense was afraid of D-Law. Come on now. You know this. Offense was afraid of D-Law.
But the problem
double
is,
tight ends, getting blocked by 2 tight ends and the right tackle.
Well, look here. I need y'all to take the ball
away.
Three guys. See, y'all got Skip up here. Skip was yelling at me all year long, wouldn't let me speak, because y'all was catching the L's.
We was. Yeah. I mean, we couldn't get the ball. Me personally, I dropped 4.
You did.
That's why you're a DB. If you can run, you would be a receiver or running back.
That's not why.
Harsh, Shannon.
Guys that
the reason I want to be DB, I didn't want to get hit. Okay. I want to do the hitting.
All right.
Hands, I mean, let me your hand looks up.
I put lotion on this morning, too.
Describe Dak Prescott as the leader of your football team. What's your view of him?
Phenomenal. Phenomenal leader. A guy that you're going to listen to, a guy that you're going to follow. Guy's going to lead by action and not words, not just words. I mean, he's a great leader. He's a great leader. He's first one in the door, last one out. And that's small, but then in your mind, he's like, man, my quarterback's in here. Wow. I want to be great for him, too.
Do you have a close relationship with him?
Yes. I mean, definitely. We're from the same state. We talk in the locker room. Not like we go out. No, we go out to dinner every night or something like that. But, yeah, as far as football, yes.
Yeah. What did you think of Zeke's year? Because I was a little disappointed. I wanted to lead the league in rushing after he got paid. And mm-hmm. how did you see his season?
I feel like his season went good. I mean, Dak came out passing the ball, had a phenomenal year. That was working for the offense. Something works. Why change it?
But see, he won't Dak. He wants y'all to throw for a 5,000 yards and want Zeke to rush for 2,000, which you and I both know is impossible.
It's not gonna happen. Mm-hmm. It's not gonna happen. Mm-hmm. Some has to fold. Some has to fold. Mm-hmm. Passing or the running. Mm.
So you want to make any big predictions about next year?
We'll be in the Super Bowl.
Ooh, I like that. There we go.
Boom.
Skip will take that.
Y'all gonna be there.
Where's that? LA, Vegas? Which one?
I think it might be in Tampa.
Oh, Tampa?
Might be Tampa.
I don't think it's LA yet. Tampa? I don't care where it is.
I don't know. Wherever it's at, we'll be there. We'll be there.
Y'all got tickets already?
We'll be there.
They ain't printed the tickets yet. You can't get no tickets. You can't get no tickets. They ain't get y'all no tickets yet.
We'll be there.
Be there. Yeah, tickets. We'll be there. We're going to be there too.
I know you'll be there.
You're going to be in the stand with me.
Be in Tampa, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll be there with me. Yeah, be there with me.
Shannon, we got a real coach now.
Yeah, we got a made man.
We got a real coach.
Now you will.
He's got a ring on his finger. And he might have a couple because you know what my team does? It just rides the roller coaster. Every other year, it goes way up and then it goes way down. This is time to go up.
Well, you've been down here for 25 years. My bad. You know. I don't like to be the bearer of bad news, but you know.
He just said they are going to be in the Super Bowl.
What's he supposed to say?
Case closed.
What's he supposed to say? They going to get Trevor Lawrence, the number one
overall pick? A lot of guys say, oh, we'll do the best we can. We'll take it one game at a time. He's taking it one season at a time.
He got his fingers crossed. Yep. He ain't mean it.
No.
You're like, here, we go to the Super Bowl, got his fingers crossed. Hope. Nope.
I like the confidence.
The confidence is good and new energy in the building. Yep. That goes a long way. So we really appreciate
new energy with the same players, huh?
Shannon, come on. Right here.
Well, now you know.
I'm just saying the defense got to do, but I need more from the defense. Mm. You got a lot of guys getting big dollars over there.
Right.
I ain't saying you one of them big dollar guys, but there are a lot of guys making big dollars over there, and I ain't seen that production this year.
We appreciate you coming in today, Xavier. Yo, I have a feeling that these guys could keep you for the rest of the show, but that's all the time we have.
Oh, he happy. You done got what he wanted to hear now.
Wishing you the very best.
Thank you all for having me.
Good job, bro.
Thank you.
No mercy.
After the Browns filled the NFL's final head coaching vacancy with Kevin Stefanski, the Fritz Pollard Alliance issued a statement yesterday urging the NFL to boost their, quote, abysmal record of hiring minorities. The statement also said that the league's, quote, current system of hiring and promoting talent into the upper levels of NFL management is a flawed system. We cannot expect fairness if business remains status quo. Shannon, what is your reaction to this?
I'm not surprised they use the term abysmal because that's what it is. And as I said last week, Skip, until you have a more diverse people that hire, that can hire more diverse looking people that doesn't necessarily look like them, talk like them, act like them, this is what you're going to get. Skip, we automatically knew when we heard Marvin Lewis had interviewed for the Dallas Cowboys, what was the first thing that was a box they had to check. So that seems to be the reoccurring theme, Skip. Every time that a minority goes, we're so conditioned, they're just checking that box. Eric Bieniemy, Skip, if I didn't know, but I could have swore he was calling plays on Sunday. I could have swore he was calling plays. Now
he calls the plays.
Stefanski, if I'm not mistaken, Skip, this is his second year on the job. Mm-hmm. He was so bad at the job the year before that they brought in Gary Kubiak to oversee him.
Yeah.
And he gets a head coaching job. But nobody's like, that's just standard procedure. Mm-hmm. This is why Cleveland is going to be Cleveland. They're going to do Cleveland Brown things. And guess what? 2 years from now, mark my word, we'll be back in the same situation again, Skip. Mm. Until you get more minorities that's in positions that they can hire, minorities or people of color, you're going to have this, Skip. Mm-hmm. It used to be that way in the movie industry. Mm-hmm. Well, women can't lead until you got more women directors. And guess what you got, Skip? You got Wonder Woman. Oh, blacks can't lead. They won't have no movie. And then you got Ryan Coogler. And then you got Black Panther. Oh, they could do it if these studios just gave them a chance. Mm-hmm. Studios starting to give women and minorities more chances, and you're seeing a more diverse movie cast. Mm-hmm. You're seeing, $1 billion, Black Panther. Ooh, $1 billion, Wonder Woman. That's what you're going to have to do, Skip, until you get general managers and VPs. Because it's like, well, I don't even know how they get promoted because it's supposed to be, Skip, not only coaches, mm-hmm. it front office. So GMs, the presidents, VPs, all of those supposed to go through that channel of the Rooney Rule. Mm-hmm. But Skip, now the Rooney Rule has become a joke. All of the other, they come in to check a box. Hey, we got to see him. We got to let them see him coming in the front door. Just ask him a few questions. Send him on his way. We've checked that box. We've moved on. Skip, it's a joke. Hmm. It's really a joke. And the likelihood, if you lose your job as a black, oh, you got to wait by 7-8 years before you get another job. Hmm. These guys, white guys, lose their job and they go, guess what? Lost his job here. He go right over there and get him another job. And it's like, oh, okay, it's good. Man, miss me with that NFL. Hmm.
So, I know I bring him up often on this show, but my longtime friend John Wooten recently retired as the head of the Fritz Pollard Alliance, who was the driving force behind the original Rooney Rule. Spoke to him yesterday, and he drove home the point to me that, remember, the Rooney Rule worked for a long time. It actually worked at a pretty high level because as recently as 2018, mm-hmm. not that long ago, there were 8 minority head coaches in the league, including Ron Rivera, obviously.
Right, okay. Right.
As recently as 2015, there were 7 black general managers in the National Football League. Not great, but not terrible. Right. Not like it is now, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So his point was, it was kind of working for the longest time, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, we just lost it.
Right.
Everything went white, right? John didn't use that word. I'm using that word. But back to Stefanski, and back to your point, Gary Kubiak was the driving force behind their offense this year, right?
Yeah.
That's all Mike Zimmer has ever talked about is he turned around our life here, right? Like he changed Kirk Cousins' life.
Yes.
Gary Kubiak. Did he call plays? I don't know if he called some of the plays.
Right.
It looked like Stefanski was mostly with the headset on, but was the game plan from Gary Kubiak?
Yes.
So how much control does Stefanski really have? But guess what? He's become a close friend of Paul D. Podesta of Moneyball fame, baseball fame. I knew mm-hmm. Paul when he was under Billy Beane in Oakland. Right. But Paul is an integral part now. He survived a bunch of regimes with the Cleveland Browns.
Right.
And where did Paul go to school? He went to Harvard. And where did Stefanski go to school? He went to Penn. So they're like Ivy League brethren, right? Mm-hmm. And Paul pushed hard to hire Kevin a year ago when they elevated you-know-who, Freddie Kitchens. And so he pushed again, and this time he won. Hmm. Kevin Stefanski, let's bring him in. Watch what happens. Well, what has Stefanski ever done in this league to show you he's going to be a great head coach? Show me something.
They brought in somebody over him to oversee him.
Yeah, to oversee him. And then we're back to, do I have to keep beating the quote-unquote dead horse? But Matt Rhule won nothing big at Temple and absolutely nothing big at Baylor. He quote-unquote turned them around. And that qualified him how for a contract that's, what is it?
7 years.
7 years at almost $10 million a year with the incentives, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What did he do to qualify for a head coaching job? Nothing?
Yeah.
Right, Joe Judge, he talks tough. He talks a big game.
It sounded good.
Good press conference.
It sounded good.
I was ready to go.
But again, he's a chip off Belichick's block, but he's way down the list. He's a special team slash wide receivers coach.
Yeah, he ain't a branch off the tree. He's not.
He's elite. I would agree.
If you want to go Mangini, you're going to go Cornell, you're going to go Bill O'Brien, okay, I get that.
Okay, so John Wooten drove home the point to me that do you realize in the Super Bowl, the odds are we're going to have 2 minority coordinators facing each other, Robert Saleh versus Eric Bieniemy, mm-hmm. and we didn't get 1 minority head coach hire?
But guess what, Skip? They said, I read the study say, I think a little over 70% of the players in the NFL is African American.
Okay.
Now, what's the likelihood you think that dips to 50% or 45%? You see, Skip, that doesn't ever. Mm-hmm. Now, just to let the divisional round, you had 4 African-American quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. You're good enough to play, but I don't know if you're good enough to coach the players that look like you.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Caldwell got a job. Mm-hmm. Jim Caldwell did a heck of a job. I bet the Lions fans wish they could go to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Like Jim Caldwell had him 2 of the 4 years that he was there. Went 9-7, lost his job. Now, we're going to see how long before Steve Wilks, Marvin Lewis, Jim Caldwell get another job mm-hmm. after they've lost their jobs.
Good point. Maybe won't happen.
Yeah.
You're right. So, you mentioned black quarterbacks. We've seen great sort of progress there in that position, right?
Yeah.
There was a time when we just barely had any.
They couldn't think on their feet. They didn't process information fast enough. And then all of a sudden,
mm-hmm.
But you got to give them a chance, Skip. Give him a chance.
Yeah.
You got me like they give him Stefanski a chance? Yeah. Like they give him Matt Rhule a chance?
Mm-hmm.
Give him a chance.
Okay, I told you I spent a week once upon a time when I worked at the LA Times in Ruston, Louisiana mm-hmm. at Grambling University with Doug Williams, this kid that nobody really knew.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to one GM who said, they don't have the mental skills to play quarterback. Mm-hmm. And all he did was become the first black quarterback to win a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And that was sort of the breakthrough moment.
Right.
And now it's pretty open, you know, like it's pretty good. Like whatever diversity we have at quarterback in the NFL is not being mirrored at head coach or especially at general manager
right now. Look, you can be the line cook, but the sous chef? Mm-hmm. Well, hold a minute now. You can work for the restaurant. You can't be the face of the restaurant. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying.
So the pinnacle was reached after the 2006 season in the Super Bowl when we had Tony Dungy versus Lovey, right?
Yep.
Great. And Tony obviously broke through and won a Super Bowl.
And Lovey lost his job. What did Lovey go, 8-8 in Tampa? And then lost his job to his coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Let that sink in. I give you one guess. The color of the coordinator.
Mm. Okay. And Mike Tomlin did win a Super Bowl for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes.
So
and had them competitive all year long, given the injuries.
That's
with the quarterback, Juju being out, Connor being out, the injuries that they're going through. But Mike Tomlin is more the anomaly than the norm. Black coaches don't normally get that kind of length of time. Now, the Steelers is an organization, they don't really like to fire. That's why they've had three coaches since 1969. Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, Mike Tomlin. But, and I tell people, like, well, look at Marvin. You don't remember what the Bengals were, Skip. You remember. Because you covered this game, you've been around it. You know what the Bengals were before Marvin got on the...
Yeah. Marvin's problem was he went 0-7
in the playoffs. Right.
But he made the playoffs seven times for a bad franchise.
Yes.
A mom-and-pop organization
that's
run cheaply. So he deserves... Clearly, I like Marvin. In fact, I was pushing. I wouldn't have minded if Jerry Jones had hired Marvin Lewis. Yeah.
Very respected, by the players, right? I mean, everyone talks so highly of him.
Yeah, cheap. So, Mike Brown, cheap. You can go over the overpass, Skip, and park in the overpass and watch the Bengals practice.
You can. That's true. So I mentioned this earlier, but the Institute for Diversity and Ethics in Sports, their racial report card for last year, that doesn't include this hiring month now.
Right.
But A+ for minority assistants. D+ for head coaches in the National Football League. Well,
what is
that
the front office?
You? Okay.
Probably F.
I don't know the front office, but I do know if you're given A+ for assistance, that means the pipeline is full of young, that could be of any minority, but a lot of young black assistants who are coming up and they're better than Kevin Stefanski, right?
You can sit next to the man, you just can't be the man.
Yep. Yeah.
You can be you be the assistant director.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be the director.
Mm.
Right. No mercy. Guys, Lamar Jackson's season, while it came to an early end after being upset by the Titans in the divisional round last week. Looking ahead to next season, though, there are differing opinions on what we will see from Lamar. One anonymous coach said that Lamar's improvement in the passing game will continue to progress like it did from last year to this year. However, another coach said that Lamar's passing numbers this season were due to mostly playing with a lead and being able to make plays within the flow of an offense. So, Shannon, how do you feel about Lamar now?
I feel the same as I did going into the game as I feel coming out, Skip. You know, so many people was waiting for this moment, Skip, to say I told you so. So they'll describe everything that he did over the course of a season and then put all the confidence, see, I told you, in one game. But they said the exact same thing last year in San Diego when they played the Chargers. See, I told you. He should have stayed in. He should have went to running back. He should have been a receiver. And then he improved Leafs and Browns. I believe he can still improve. He understands he needs to become even better at throwing the football. He understands he needs to get rid of the football sometimes in the pocket and not always wait to try to get the home run down the field. He understands he can't take those hits, slide sooner, get out of bounds sooner. Skip, what does this even mean? A lot of his plays came when they had the lead or the Florida game. Shouldn't that how your offense work? Your player should. Everybody said Dak Prescott threw for almost 5,000 yards. I called him garbage yards because he's behind in the fourth quarter. Now you criticize Lamar Jackson for having a lead, giving his team a lead in the fourth quarter, for playing, for getting his yards, his touchdown throughout the flow of the game. Now that's a drawback. Every other quarterback that gets their yardage or touchdown in the flow of the game, that's unbelievable. He doesn't do anything outside of the game. Now you punish Lamar Jackson for that. This is so ridiculous. I just can't believe that people would actually sit back. People sit back and hope that the young man fails. If you want to critique his play, if you want to say he didn't play well, okay, so be it. I got no problem. Because you know I offer harsh critique analysis of any player, regardless of position. But Skip, to sit back and hope, man, I sure hope they lose because this is going to be my opportunity. And it seems like this, oh, he's not going to be. Why not? Every quarterback improved. Did you say that when Peyton Manning lost 41-0 to the Jets? Well, I don't know where Peyton goes from here. 41-0. You didn't say that. Come on. Guy played 16 unbelievable games. Had an unbelievable season. And now after one game, you're ready to write him off. You hope that he fades away. Well, I hope that he comes back even better than what he was last year. Because this is ridiculous.
Okay, just for the record, you were pretty hard on him yesterday.
Yes.
You said he deserves the bulk of the blame.
Yes.
And that he played by his MVP standards.
Yes.
Poorly.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. This is just me, and I don't know what to read into those anonymous quotes. I don't think they want him to fail. I think they're just trying to be smart, you know, like to see the future because you don't have to put your name on it.
Right.
So you're saying, I'm cool. I'm going to tell you they're going to struggle because he can't come back. I got to tell you, and I fought you yesterday on this. I didn't think his numbers on Saturday night were garbage numbers or empty calorie kind of numbers. I think he can come back. And I know they don't want to throw 59 times, but he made a bunch of good second half throws. But let's put this in some perspective. What happened a year ago? He was not ready for the Chargers in a playoff game because he was a rookie quarterback who'd never played in a
right.
playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chargers last year especially were really good on defense until right. they got to Foxborough.
Right.
But they were really good all year, and they showed you how good they were against him.
Right.
So he wasn't ready for that game, but his team wasn't ready on Saturday night.
Right.
Because we talked about it, 3 weeks off, everybody's a little off kilter. Everybody's
right.
a little out of sync, a little out of rhythm.
Right.
And his first pass is to Mark Andrews, who might maybe 3 weeks before he makes that catch. Because
right.
it's just off his fingertips, and it results in an interception. And it changes the whole flow of the game. Mm-hmm. Then he threw a bad pick, and then he lost. You detailed it yesterday. He lost a bad fumble because he lost Jarrell Casey behind right. him, and he just forgot, and he's going to try to make a play. And you're getting a little desperate because you didn't know you were going to get hit in the mouth like that.
Right.
They were playing an extremely physically and mentally tough football team that is a buzzsaw right now that mm-hmm. was coming off a hot win up in Foxborough, and it was the wrong place and the wrong time for a Baltimore Ravens team that had an extraordinary regular season that ended 3 weeks before.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't ready for the onslaught. And the problem with trying to come back against that team, obviously, is number 22 plays for the other team.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just hard to come back
right.
on that because he's just going to punish you. You can't tackle him. He is the moose who runs like a deer.
Right.
And it's going to be so relentless that it's going to defeat you psychologically.
Right.
And so he's not getting a lot of help from his defense or his receivers.
And plus, Skip, that's not the Ravens' offense. Their offense isn't to drop back and throw it 60 times.
No, but
Kansas City can.
I know, but my point is, I was highly impressed with his growth as a passer
right.
this year. And I thought any other team, if they fell behind, what were the final scores, 28-12. I forget what it was at some point. But could he come back on some other teams that would get up?
Right.
Could they have come back on Cleveland? I know they lost 40-25. He could throw them back in a game. And
but,
I don't doubt he'll get better and better throwing the football.
But, Skip, if you look at him last year when he lost to the Chargers, remember, mm-hmm. he went to L.A. and he beat the Chargers the first time around. So did he get a
okay.
second crack at it. Skip, I can see if it was like 4 or 5 games.
Mm-hmm.
But, Skip, they got tape on you. They got 23 games worth of tape. So they it's not like they're not, well, we don't know what he can do.
Mm.
He did that.
Yeah.
Mm.
He's going to win the MVP. He did that. How many, Skip, how many outlets, say, in the last 20 years, we've seen a guy that just all of a sudden he win the MVP mm-hmm. because what?
Sure. Yep.
Stop it.
I got it.
I'm not saying he's going to win 5 MVPs like mm-hmm. Manning or 3 like Brady or even 2. But to try to discount him for what he did this season
mm-hmm.
because of one game they lost, ain't nobody saying anything. I wonder what if Tom Brady can bounce back.
Yep.
They thumped him in their building.
Or did mm-hmm. they?
And nobody said anything. I wonder if Tom can bounce back.
Mm.
Yeah.
But because of Lamar, because his style is a little unorthodox, Skip, they run more than they pass. He's not as proficient throwing the ball. Yeah, he's good. But he's not as good throwing the ball as he is with his legs. We understand that. But if he just can incrementally get better.
He will.
Skip, it's 2 years. That makes him like a dude been in the league 12 years.
I got it. What he did with his legs on Saturday night was extraordinary. 20 times for 143 yards. And there was one play up the sideline when he made Adoree Jackson look silly.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The stop and go.
Yeah.
He just stopped cold and went, and he just, like, put him on his back.
Right.
Without even having to touch him.
Right.
Well, that's just, nobody else can do that. You had the two best running backs in the game on the field at the same time. Right. One guy does it one way, and one guy does it a whole. It's thunder and lightning, right?
The thing is, you look at Mahomes. Okay, once they got the lead, they were still throwing. He got those yards in the floor of the game. That's their offense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, Lamar Jackson, what they do is that they run. They force you to try to, okay, we got to commit more to the box and take away the run. They got tight ends that can run and get seams. Hollywood Brown can go over the top. And he picks you apart. That's kind of like what a quarterback does. When Brady can run the ball, what is working, Skip? Play action. Mm-hmm. Now he's throwing the ball down the field. But they try to minimize what this guy's been able to do. You have to evolve. You have to reinvent yourself year after year in the really good ones.
Mm-hmm.
Because Brady is not the same guy, Skip. He was not always a throw it to screen guy and dump it down to the back. They catching 50 and 60 balls. That's not what he was. He's evolved to that. Brady used to throw, when he had Moss, they threw the ball down the field. But you evolve, Skip. You reinvent yourself. Okay, you take that away. I find another way to beat you.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Lamar can do that. But, I don't believe. Man, they need to miss me with that.
Hmm.
I think he's good enough. They got 16 games. Teams had 16 games to try to figure him out. They didn't. He lost. Mm-hmm. He didn't play particularly well. He picked the worst day to have his worst game in the playoffs. It just happened to Drew Brees the week before. He played his worst game, Skip, and he went home.
Yeah. I know, but this kid only has two now.
Right.
And neither one of them have been anything to write home about.
Well, what was Peyton Manning's record in his first three pro playoff games?
What did I used to say? You said nobody said anything about Peyton. I used to beat this desk for years back at the old show about Peyton Manning never lived up to his regular season in the postseason.
Right.
That he was the all-time greatest regular season quarterback who couldn't live up in the postseason.
Right.
Okay? And it didn't happen until he went to Denver and had a real defense and completely reinvented the way he was throwing the football. Right. Right?
Well, I mean, he had that breakthrough season, I think, in 2006, because Eli won in 2007. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they had to go through it took him, he had to go, because he couldn't get through Tom. In order for him to, people like, finally, he had to go through Tom, Skip.
He did.
He had to.
No, he finally did.
And he finally did. And he went to Denver and he had to do it twice and he did it.
No, I got it. So even though I picked the Titans, I told you I was going to be deflated if we're going to lose Lamar from the tournament.
Right.
Because Fox has got the Super Bowl and I wanted to see Lamar in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So did this put a little bit of a damper on him winning the MVP? Yeah, it did. It just did. It kind of took
Skip, I don't really like to see the MVP. I kind of want to see him do it via remote. From his hotel room, because he's getting ready for the game.
That's what I mean.
But Skip, I mean, you got to go all the way back to Kurt Warner before you had the last Super Bowl MVP that won the Super Bowl. Matt Ryan, he didn't win.
No.
Tom Brady, he didn't win. So
it's kind of like the Heisman. You win the Heisman, although Joe Burrow just made them eat their words.
Right.
Yeah. But a lot of times the Heisman winner will have a hard time in the postseason.
Well, because Skip, he has that banquet circuit. Yeah. He's eating more and traveling more than practicing.
Yep.
The MVP, Skip, you ain't really going nowhere. It's just, hey, teams have 2 weeks to prepare. And, you know, you have an off day. You're going home.
No mercy.
Well, Joe Burrow took home all the hardware this season. The Heisman winner showed up big in the national championship game last night against Clemson. Burrow had 465 yards through the air and 5 touchdowns, and he ran one in as well, as LSU ended up winning the title 42-25 over the reigning champs. Burrow's 60 passing touchdowns this season is the most by any QB in college history. Fox College Football analyst Reggie Bush joining us now. Reggie, did Burrow have the greatest college season by a quarterback ever?
I think he did. You just said it, 60 touchdowns on a season. That's unbelievable. 65 in total touchdowns. And it's the way that they did it. It's the teams that they beat. They beat 7 ranked teams from Florida, Auburn, Bama, Georgia, Oklahoma, and then Clemson, the number one scoring defense. They have all the accolades. And I think last night was just another example of why he's a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, why they were regarded as the best team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also we got to start to talk about this team as, you know, in the conversation as one of the greatest teams ever.
Okay. Okay.
Because of just what they were able to do and how they were able to just dissect a lot of these defenses in the SEC. Mm. It's extremely impressive. I thought Joe Burrow once again showcased to us, the whole world again, why he's, you know, one of the best and going to be the number one draft pick to Cincinnati Bengals.
Yep.
good luck down there. But yeah, I think this is the greatest season by any college quarterback ever.
Wow.
Well, I'm going to take it a step further. I think it's the greatest college season ever by a player. Yeah. I think the only one that could have come close would have been Barry Sanders had he won the national title. His 2,600 yards rushing, over 2,600 yard rushing, Skip, and it didn't count the 225 that he got in the bowl game had he won, because he won the Heisman. But if you look at Joe Burrow in totality, Skip, I'm not saying who had the most talent. Well, Cam Newton was a one-man game. Mm-hmm. Well, look at Vince Young and what he did. I'm talking about the greatest season ever in totality.
Mm-hmm.
60 touchdowns pass, which is a record. 65 total, which is a record. The second best completion percentage ever. Mm-hmm. The third most passing yards ever. Over 6,000 yards. Vince Young, in his season, Skip, that they're talking about, Joe Burrow had 2,000 more yards and 27 more touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
He had 1,700 more yards and 14 more touchdowns than Cam Newton. So you top that with a Heisman, with a national title, with all of this in totality, Skip is not even close.
Yeah.
His last three games, 18 touchdowns, zero interceptions, the number two scoring defense, the number one scoring defense, and a blue blood in Oklahoma.
Mm.
Skip, you can't do any more than what he did. Skip, against the best, top 10 teams, he completed 75% of his passes, 398 yards a game, 27 touchdowns, two interceptions.
Mm.
Yeah, Skip, with somebody more talented, sure. Well, somebody maybe a better player than him, sure. But nobody had a better season than this. I defy you. I'm talking about everything. You got to put his yardage, his completion percentage, the Heisman, the national title, the seven top 10 teams that he beat at the time that they played him. Nobody's even close, Skip.
Hmm.
Nobody's close.
I got two words for you. Kyler Murray.
Not even close. Not even close. Not even close.
Just a year ago.
Not even close.
Kyler Murray had the greatest QBR in the history of QBRs, 93.6.
That's one stat, Skip.
Okay, but it's everything involved. He ran for 1,001 yards, and it counts in the QBR.
What did he do, Skip? Did he win the national? He got blown out.
Had the worst good team defense I have ever seen. Ever seen.
But, Skip, you got to be
able to. I'm just saying, and you can say I bleed OU.
You do.
Crimson and cream because I was born and raised an Oklahoma fan. But I got to defend him because it was just a year ago that – because you never give him any credit at all for anything. He had an incredible rookie season this year, and you thought it was garbage. And
it was okay.
Yeah, it was just okay.
That's all?
It was extraordinary.
It was
he
not.
Should be the runaway rookie of the year.
He going
to
run away.
That bad football team to do what he did for them, starting with a tie of the Detroit Lions in game one and playing San Francisco to the wire twice. Are you kidding me?
Those games
for Cliff Kingsbury
Detroit.
And that team?
Well, how about Detroit? What did Detroit do?
What did Arizona do? Why did they have the first overall
pick? They almost had the same record as Detroit.
Okay, so I love QBR because it encompasses everything a quarterback does. So he had the number one QBR in the history of the stat.
Okay.
And Joe Burrow had the sixth highest.
Okay.
And others on the list that you would know, Russell Wilson was third highest in his one college season, you know, the Wisconsin season.
Tua
this year had a better QBR. He had a 92, just slightly better than Joe Burrow at 91.
Okay.
And I missed Andrew Luck, who also had a 91. Burrow was 90.8. Mm. So my point is that Kyler's season was extraordinary because he stepped into the shoes of the Heisman winner at the same school, and he was a transfer in. He had been there for a year. And he took it up a notch from what Baker Mayfield did, which the year before, a lot of people thought that was the greatest season.
Joe Burrow also transferred.
I know.
But Skip, all you can hang it on, what about his completion percentage? Was it better than Joe's? Did he throw for more touchdowns? Did he throw for more yards? Did he have more wins?
Mm-hmm.
Your guy caught two L's with that high QBR. Did anybody even come close to beating them?
So against Alabama in the second L that you talk about in the national semifinal, my guy threw for 308 and ran for 109. So that's 417 total yards against that Bama St. Nick defense. And there was no Hollywood Brown that night. And Jenny knows how valuable Hollywood Brown was to Kyler because he was unstoppable.
They didn't realize how injured he was.
Skip, This guy just had over 500 against the number one scoring D in the country. Mm. They give up 151 passing. They gave up 9 total touchdowns in 14 games. Mm. That guy just hung 5 on him, had another touchdown drop, and he took a knee at the 5.
Mm-hmm. I thought he was extraordinary, especially coming off such a mediocre year the year before at LSU in his first year.
Yes, but Skip, but when you add this, think about this, Skip. 60 touchdowns with 6 picks. How many picks did Kyler throw?
What was he? He was 42-7.
The dude threw 18 more touchdowns with one fewer interception.
Kyler ran for 12 touchdowns.
He ran.
Good run, Mark.
Okay, so how many touchdowns is that?
That 54. Is 54-66.
So not even close.
No, 65.
65.
He ran
not even close.
Well, it's in the ballpark.
Ballpark?
Yep.
No, you selling popcorn, I'm on the field. That ain't close. We both in the ballpark, but we got two different jobs.
He had an extra game as well, so.
So you believe he's gonna run for 1,200 yards and throw another 13 touchdowns? Skip.
Kyler was extraordinary. Yards per attempt, 11.6 for Kyler to 10.8 for this kid. And this kid's got, you want to talk about wide receivers? Every time I looked up, there's another one.
Whoa. Yeah. Hold on. You just talked about Hollywood Brown. Hollywood Brown just went to one game.
Yeah.
So is CeeDee Lamb any good? Mm-hmm. I just need to know. Because the last 2 years, he's been in the running for the Biletnikoff Award, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. He has.
So you had CeeDee Lamb.
But Jamar Chase was Hollywood, and he got hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got hurt in the championship game, but he played up until then.
The Big 12.
The Big 12.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because he got hurt in the Big 12 game, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. So he played up until then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm missing 1,800 yards passing.
What I'm saying is he threw for 308 with no Hollywood in the national semifinals.
Skip.
You said, it took him to the woodshed. I don't think they would have without this.
Did you see what he did against Georgia in the SEC championship game?
Mm-hmm.
And did he? We thought we'd never see anything what Deshaun Watson did. Deshaun threw for 420.
Mm.
Yeah. Dude totaled with 463. Mm-hmm. And he took a knee.
I'll give you this. Just throwing the football, nobody's ever had a greater season than this. Just throwing it.
Yeah. I don't think if you combine everything that a quarterback does, if you put it in its totality, no player has ever had a season like this, Skip. Not when you, because think about it, you said he got the 6th best QBR since they've been thinking that.
Yep.
He has the 2nd best completion percentage, the most touchdown passes, the most total touchdowns, 6,000 yards total offense.
Extraordinary.
With a national championship.
You also got to take into account, he could run the football too. Yeah. Last night at one point, that was their best offense was Joe Burrow
quarterback
taking off
draw.
Running.
Mm. Absolutely.
He's got sneaky, clever sort of quickness out of the pocket at 6'4".
He does. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, Skip, there have been some unbelievable season. The season that Vince Young had and what he did in the championship game. Sorry, Reggie.
Yep.
That was unbelievable. If you want to put Tommy Frazier, you want to say Cam?
I'm still going to say Vince's performance that night against you guys was the greatest single solo performance I've ever seen in a championship game.
I will give you that.
Okay.
Because it was just, he put like Max.
It was him.
Max said after the game, he just put us on his shoulders and said, I'm going to do this.
Right. Okay.
And obviously, he ran for the final touchdown for what was like 18 yards away.
It felt like a mile. You're watching it.
Yeah. If you want to say his performance, that game was the greatest, I give you that. But for a season,
a body of work.
60 touchdown skill. Let that sink in for a second.
I got it.
I was impressed with 50 from, what's the name last year from Ohio State?
Yeah.
Yep.
50 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He topped it
with 10. He went 50-7. This dude went 60 and 6.
Mm.
It's over.
And this is the guy who fell to third string at Ohio State and then graduated 3 years, was a quote-unquote free agent in Nebraska, where his father said, we're not interested.
But here's what happened. Me and my research, he brought me some information.
Mm-hmm. I had forgotten
about
it.
He broke his hand.
Mm-hmm.
So that took him out of the running to be the backup. And so the guy got the advantage. Haskins got the advantage of being able to play.
Yeah, but he was a hot recruit. Haskins was. Yeah. And again, it was JT Barrett first, and he wasn't going to beat out JT Barrett.
Sometimes, Skip, everybody's like, I want to go here. Sometimes it's better where you go than when you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He went to the right place. Mm-hmm. Going to Nebraska, we'd have never heard. Joe Burrow would have probably, I don't know if Joe Burrow would have got drafted, Skip. But he went to the right place.
Possible. Right? Yeah.
You go there with those three receivers, and look at, just like Tua. This is not Alabama's offense. Alabama's 3 yards in a cloud of dust.
Yeah.
But they bring in Tua. They get Judy and Smith and Ruggs and all those guys, and they change Waddle, and they change the way that LSU was 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Remember they had Fournette? All they tossed it to Fournette. Even when they had Odell and Landry, tossed it to Fournette.
Yeah. Okay. And think how fortuitous it was that Coach O took his staff to talk to the Saints and try to pick their brains about offensive ideas. Yeah. And there's a low-level assistant who basically was the gopher. He was the gopher for Sean Payton
for 1 year. How about Tom Brady cousin?
He became the Tom Brady of assistant coaches because no assistant in the history of college football has had more impact than he had on this kid right away.
And that's I think that's the most impressive part is this is a professional NFL-style offense.
Right.
It's the same offense that we ran in New Orleans that they're running right now. It's the same offense that helped us to win a Super Bowl.
Yep.
And then you see, and then that's what I think was probably going to have coaches and GMs excited is because he's already making these NFL-type throws.
Mm-hmm. He's reads.
In reads, and he's throwing receivers open. He's not waiting for them to get open.
If I'm Joe Brady, I go into Coach O's office. Here's my new salary. ain't no negotiating. This is my new salary. I really appreciate you, Coach O.
He just turned 30 years of age.
I just read something, too, where someone asked, like, oh, do you have an agent? He's like, oh, no, I don't need an agent until now, maybe.
Actually, I probably don't know. Everybody coming
today.
Knocking on their door.
My new salary.
30 years old. That's pretty special. No mercy. Guys, Joe Burrow, 6 total touchdowns last night, cemented his spot as the favorite to be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft this April. On the other side of the ball last night was Trevor Lawrence, who suffered the first loss of his college career. And most experts have already pegged the sophomore quarterback to be next year's number one overall pick. So, Reggie, when you look at these two guys, who will be the better NFL quarterback? Are you thinking Lawrence or Burrow?
Well, let me say this. If they were both coming out in this draft this year, Joe Burrow would be 1, Trevor Lawrence would be 2. Same thing if it was next year. It could be vice versa. And I don't think you can go wrong with either quarterback. They both bring something significant to this game. And I think they're both going to have great careers. But what I saw from Joe Burrow last night, I saw a quarterback who won the mental battle. This is the first time I think I've seen him under this much duress all season. They hit him. They sacked him. Yeah. They got in his face. They tried to make it as ugly as they possibly could. They threw a bunch of blitzes at him. And they threw the kitchen sink at him last night. And he still came out on top. And that's the thing that you're most excited about when you watch him play. Because how many times in the NFL do we see games go through these ebb and flows where quarterbacks need to be mentally tough? They have to be able to adjust on the fly. Mm-hmm. They have to be able to now scramble out of pressure and make those throws down the football field. And he can do it all. There's nothing that I saw from him that he cannot do this season. And because he's operating an NFL-style offense, that's the other part that gets people excited. Because, again, like I said, this is an NFL-style offense that he's running. And he's making NFL-type throws. He's throwing his receivers open. Even when DBs are draped all over them, he's putting that ball in places where only his receivers can get that. And we saw that time and time again this season. And we saw it one more time on the biggest stage last night.
I agree. I'm going to give a slight edge to Burrow, Skip. I love his demeanor. I mean, his demeanor on the field, Skip, not the celebratory when he was his ringside or pointing at the fans in Texas. But he kind of reminds you of Eli because they got in his face early. There were a lot of scat protection, and you guys run a lot of scat protection. And what teams like to do, they like to blitz you out of it. Yeah. They'll make you keep an extra guy in so you don't get all 5 of your receivers, eligible receivers, out. He took some hits. Mm-hmm. They confused him early. He had some incompletions. Mm-hmm. I mean, at one point, he was, 2 of 5? You never see Joe. He normally starts the game 11 of 11, 14 of 16. But they had him off kilter. But he didn't falter. He didn't blink. He didn't lose. I love that in the quarterback. Because everybody can play when things are going great. Yeah. Let's not fool ourselves. Everybody.
Sure.
You get it going early, get it cooking, everybody can cook. But he didn't have it going early, but he stayed the course. He's in a pro, as Reggie mentioned, he's in a pro-style offense making pro-style throws with pro-style reads. So I'm going to get, Skip, we looked it up. Did you know the tallest quarterback in the Pro Football Hall of Fame is 6'4"?
Really?
Troy Aikman and Dan Marino.
That's the tallest.
Elway is 6'3", Dan Fouts 6'3", Jim Kelly 6'3".
Mm-hmm. I didn't think about that.
Trevor Lawrence prototypical, 6'6", 220, which means his frame can hold 235, 240. But I'm going to take Joe Burrow because he's 6'3". He's more
he's 4.
I think he's listed at 6'4".
He's 6'4".
Yeah.
He's 6'4". I love his athleticism. Coming into the season, Skip, I didn't realize he was this athletic until I really, you had an opportunity to just sit down and watch him against Alabama. And I saw them use his legs because it was a key just like last night, a key, he didn't throw, he ran for it. Mm-hmm. Okay. And if you look at the guy, what are the all the guys that's in the Final Four Sunday skill, what can they all do? Right. Get all move. Garoppolo can move. Rodgers doesn't move as much as he wants. Tannehill and my homeboy showed you Sunday with his 53 yards rushing. So I'm going to give a slight edge, Skip. I saw some things with Trevor Lawrence I didn't like last night. I saw some erratic throws. I saw a bunch of erratic throws.
Yeah.
Higgins made some acrobatic catches, or there would have been even more overthrows. Yeah. So that was a little concerning. For the first time, he got tested, and he didn't really pass last night. So I'm going to give a slight edge. Both of them are going to go to bad teams. Joe Burrow going to Cincinnati. They better. He's probably like, look, I'll come, but y'all better keep A.J. Green. Because I'm not leaving what I got here in receivers. He might need to bring all the receivers with
him. Bring them with him.
Take everyone.
He might need to bring Chase and Jefferson to those guys.
He's an Ohio kid. He will love it there.
I think that's the part that makes it storybook.
It's a great fit.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you just compare Joe Burrow to Eli Manning?
No, his demeanor.
Oh.
You know, Skip,
demeanor?
His demeanor. I mean, nothing. He didn't get too high.
Eli ever do this?
No, that's what I'm saying.
He
got a couple rings. He did get a couple rings.
But he never did that.
No, but Skip, Joe Burrow.
Eli was like in the wax museum.
Okay.
Right?
Look here. Big Macaulay Culkin had it cooking.
And he that's had exactly it. Who he looked like
really
on the sideline.
He really does.
Yeah, he had it. But you know, Skip, you know, like you said, Eli, do you got a pulse? Eli, are you alive? Skip, nothing. Mm. Good or bad, you don't even know if Eli up by 35 or he down by 42. Mm. Right. Mm. No expression.
It's funny you said that. Ernestine walked through the living room last night. Yeah. I was watching the game. She stopped and looked at him and said, Home Alone.
Oh, and she had not heard that before. That's amazing.
I was impressed.
So true.
You're right.
That's so true. There were a few funny photos
like
going
grown
on.
Up Home Alone.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
A little taller, I think, than real.
Okay. Home Alone kid throwing darts now.
That's true. So, I am not being prisoner of the moment to say this. I have been tweeting about it. We haven't done it on the show until the last topic yesterday, but I told you when I picked LSU that Joe Burrow is much better than Trevor Lawrence. Mm-hmm. This you just said, it's not even close that Joe Burrow had the greatest season ever for a quarterback or maybe any player. Mm-hmm. This is not even close. Joe Burrow will be a much better NFL quarterback than Trevor Lawrence. I have had issues with Trevor Lawrence all year. I've been tweeting about it all year. Mm-hmm. I tweeted about it after the Ohio State win, which he turned around after the
long TD run?
Yeah. Well, I mean, after the ejection on
because
it came right after that.
Yep.
And he bolted away for 67 yards, and it changed the game.
He did.
If you let him get unwound with those long legs of his, he can fly.
Yeah, he can run.
He looks like he can run 4.5-ish to me. But he runs kamikaze style. He doesn't protect himself at all.
Yeah.
The way he was running last night will not work in your league. Yep. It will not last. Because Joe Burrow was running smart. He would just get down. Yeah. When it's time to get down, he just slides. Yeah. He's not going to take anybody on.
Well, it cost him. That's why he fumbled the ball.
He took him on.
Exactly. He tried to run over the guy. Yeah. The guy put his helmet right on the ball.
So I don't think he's going to be nearly as effective a runner as Joe Burrow will be at the next level.
Right.
Yeah.
And Trevor Lawrence is not an accurate passer. Book it. He's just not accurate. He has had T. Higgins at 6'4", and he's got Justin Ross at 6'4" tall. And both of them are basketball leapers, and he's thrown a lot of jump balls that they have come down with. Saw a stat this morning. I think it was an ESPN stat, but he overthrew 13 passes last night, and it was the most in any college game this whole year.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not being prisoner of that moment. He's been doing that routinely in his career, but he gets away with it because of the two big stud receivers. Both of them are going to be really good in the NFL, especially T. Higgins. But the point is, I don't see feel for the game. I don't see finesse feel where you can throw nice screens or have a feel for how to play quarterback. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be surprised if he's the first pick in the draft a year from now.
Hmm. Who's going to beat him?
I don't know, but somebody's going to talk themselves out of this because I'm not sure this is going to work in the NFL. I'm not saying he's going to be bad, but he's not going to be what the other kid is because Joe Burrow is – he is made he's got touch.
And that's go ahead, go ahead.
It's gonna depend on which the nature of which team he goes to, what kind of weapons.
It's always
he has.
That in the NFL.
It always comes down to that. You know, it's very tough to go into an organization, especially if you're number one pick, you're usually going to the worst team. And you know, usually there's issues with either the coaching staff or just the chemistry or the maybe the organization, the mentality of the it can be a lot of different things that can affect his first couple years in the league. So we don't know I don't have a crystal ball, but from what I seen last night, ain't even close. Joe Burrow got
it. And normally, Skip, when you get the first overall pick, you normally are first or second year coach.
Yeah.
You ain't no 10, 15 year veteran coach getting the number one overall pick. Because if you that and you get the number one overall pick and you getting fired.
Yeah.
And so they're coming in with a new coach anyway. And Skip, Lawrence has a bigger arm. But Joe Montana's arm was plenty good.
It was plenty good.
Tom Brady.
Joe Burrow's arm is a little better than right. Joe Montana's, yeah. to me.
Sometimes people think you got to have a Patrick Mahomes or a John Elway arm. No. Mm-hmm. You just get it there. His anticipation.
It's beautiful.
That's the most important thing. Not arm strength, anticipation. Because you're going to have to look. Guys are not going to be wide open like they are in college. Mm-hmm. Right. You got to throw guys open. And if you're late with a ball, ask Lamar Jackson when he threw that out cut. Mm. They get you.
When got it.
They get you. You better throw. There's gonna be small windows, and you gotta anticipate that guy's coming open and let the ball go before he's actually open. Because if you wait till he's open to throw it, it's knocked down or it's picked.
Mm. I know it's a side note, but man, Jamar Chase went to work on that DB last night.
That's the number one DB.
He went to work on him last night.
They tried to hide him. They moved him to the other side.
He still went to get him.
It's just bad for him.
Switch over. Get him.
Hey, go over there. Go get him.
That's a game.
Skip, I tweeted there. I say, if they don't give him some help over the top,
oh man,
the night's going to get even longer.
I would have put Isaiah Simmons on him.
Skip, at some point, listen. I don't care how great you are. You will struggle in a game. Give the man some help.
Yeah.
There's no harm. It's like, our best guy needed some help.
Hey, you're the best guy.
Go give that man some help.
Mm-mm. But there's that other guy named Justin Jefferson.
I'm going to see if Justin Jefferson can do it because I'm not letting Chase get no anymore.
Double team something.
Yeah, you got to
get hands on him.
I'm glad Coach Owen Burrow found each other, though. Yeah. It's just the way it all wrapped up. He was asked after the game what Burrow means to LSU, and he said he means the world to us. Like, it couldn't have been.
He never paying for another meal in the state of Louisiana.
Never.
Coach Oak saying he's one of the greatest players in the history.
The greatest.
What?
Yeah.
Billy Kanner won the Heisman in 1959.
I saw the movie, the Galloping Ghost, the Great Ghost they called him. That's what he called Billy Cannon.
Uh-huh.
Coach O about to get every 5-star quarterback at his disposal now.
He will.
For the next 10 years.
That is true.
Because of this man right here.
Look at his turnaround.
But it's going to be hard, Skip, for other programs. Because normally they can go in there and steal a couple of players from Louisiana.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard for
you. It's going to be hard now.
Coach O got to he going to keep those LSU.
Yeah, he ain't going down to LSU, to New Orleans no more. They're going to keep all them.
What it's a party it must
Bama
have been
used to go in there and steal about three or four of them.
Travis Etienne went to Clemson.
Yeah. Higgins, in one of those receivers?
Yeah.
Maybe Higgins or Ross.
From down there,
yeah. No, he might be from Alabama. He got out of Alabama. But Coach O is just... He strikes you as a guy you just want to play for.
Yeah. You just want to hang out with him.
He is.
I mean, I love Dabo as well. It was like two coaches that you can't really say anything bad about, in my opinion. It was fun to watch. Reggie, good stuff.
Thank you.
Today and all season. It was really fun working with you.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts. Sports. One of one.